Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we are back. And that was a fantastic conversation with the state representative. Would you not agree, Joe?
Yeah, it was. It certainly was. I think it's interesting to get an insight on what's going on at the state level.
And just to let folks know what we do try to do here, we try to be fair. And we try to make sure that we rotate every other week. We try to have a Republican. We try to have a Democrat. So we try to be fair. Even though we've piled up on Republicans tonight because we're going to have the governor coming up at 7 o'clock.
No, the governor's the governor. You can't get another governor on. Well, you could.
It wouldn't be from the state. Right, exactly. our next guest, I believe, is on the phone line. He joins us every 4 or 5 weeks, depending on what's going on. We're fortunate to have joining us Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter. Mayor, how are you?
Well, good evening, guys. Great to be back on Monday Night Talk.
Thank you for coming back on. I'm sure you have been just as busy as the rest of us. Joe made a joke at the top of our show saying that we're about 11 inches away from the all-time record. And I think I took a small page out of your playbook because I've heard you say a couple of times about a certain incident. I think that's one record we don't want to break is if we get any more snow. Would you agree?
Well, it's this last snowstorm certainly tested us because of the cumulative factor, and you know, we're facing the same challenges everyone else is. I suppose we don't have coastal flooding here in Brockton, but we've got we certainly have all the challenges of a densely populated urban setting where, you know, when we're trying to do snow removal, there just isn't a lot of room to put the snow. And this amount has just been, this has been a historic snowfall. We're, you know, somewhere around 7.5 feet of snow here in Brockton over 3 weeks. We're within a few inches away of it being the snowiest winter ever. It's already been the snowiest month ever. We did that in like an 18-day span. So, Brockton right now is, we've lifted the snow emergency and parking ban, but we do, like many communities, still remain in a state of emergency. We still have ongoing operations, and now we're seeing a whole new host of challenges to public safety as, we deal with the results of all this snow. And today, throughout the day, we were responding to numerous calls for natural gas leaks, carbon monoxide. These are very real risks. We've had one roof collapse here in the city, and we've certainly have some concerns about a couple of others. So it's not just the snowfall. Certainly trying to get the streets clear and everyone able to navigate has been a huge challenge for our DPW. But beyond that, now we are seeing these other risks to public safety, not to mention the wind chill temperatures well below zero. So it's a challenging time, no doubt about it, and the city of Brockton remains in a state of emergency.
We've run stories here on our newsroom has done stories in regards to communities having issues getting salt. Has Brockton had a similar issue being able to get salt to treat your streets and keep them safe?
Yeah, we have. We were just granted some relief from that late in the day today. We were told that we are in the process of getting some salt delivered with assistance from NEMA and the National Guard. So that's a request that we've had on the table. We had not quite completely run out, but we were probably going to run out at some point tomorrow morning. And, we pride ourselves on stocking, a huge surplus of salt. We actually have three different locations where we stockpile our salt before the season starts. And, this is the first time we've ever gotten so low. And we did not use salt at all last night or today because we had so little left. We figured we had a little bit left to perhaps be able to do one more trip around the city tomorrow morning. But I've been just notified within the past hour that we do have some salt on the way.
Mayor, it's Joe Rossi here. And you know, one of the things that when you look outside, people are just beginning to think about now is what's going to happen in about a month when things start to melt.
There's the immediate emergency of being able to remove the snow so that people can drive safely. There's the ongoing safety issue of pedestrians, where there's just, no matter how hard we try in the sidewalks, it's just impossible to clear them at this point with this volume of snow. And then, you know, what are the ongoing issues we're looking at today? It's natural gas leaks, primarily in commercial buildings that have heating units on their roofs. It's also carbon monoxide calls from power vents and exhaust vents being covered with snow and ice and causing carbon monoxide to back into homes and buildings. But then, as you say, now we start looking down the road and we say, you know, what happens if we get a big rainstorm at 50-degree temperatures and with what we've got right now? If there were to be a fast melt, I think that's going to pose huge problems for all communities like Brockton. We certainly have areas of the city that are prone to flooding, and right now, just like everyone else, our storm drains are all buried under snow and ice, so we'd have to be very concerned as to how much of our stormwater runoff system would work right now.
And just as a follow-up, what do you see as kind of some of the concerns with roads and street maintenance going into this spring? Is that something that you will certainly see as a problem that needs to be addressed come once the snow's melted?
Yeah, that's the DPW and our engineers and our DPW commissioner, you know, tell me that this will be, if and when the spring thaw ever comes, it will be a really bad spring for potholes. That the frost line right now is down about 4 feet. It's even wreaking havoc with our water system. We've had numerous water main breaks that we've had to deal with in the midst of all of this. So, as you say, the effects of this will not pass quickly. We'll be dealing with the effects of this just historic snowfall throughout the course, I think, well into the spring. And, road conditions, flooding. You know, my immediate concern is roofs and drains. We've had one roof collapse here in the city of Brockton. We had to vacate an apartment building last night because the fire department had a fear that a roof, was close to being in danger of collapsing. So if we ever get a heavy wet snow or any volume of rain on top of what we've already got, we've got to worry about roofs and then, a quick rainfall or a fast thaw. And we're certainly very worried about runoff and what the flooding situation could be.
While you have a moment on air here, anything messages for the residents, whether it's hydrants or checking on elderly neighbors or even clearing out a storm drain if they're aware of one that's near the front of their homes?
Well, if you know exactly where it is, because the storm drains, I think, are nearly impossible to find right now. Most residents know where the nearest hydrant is to their home, and we've been asking residents to help us with shoveling out of hydrants. We have only received really a very small amount of assistance from the National Guard. We had a few National Guardsmen brought in on 2 days, and we had them working alongside our DPW shoveling out fire hydrants in strategic locations, basically one each block along the main streets that would give us the most coverage from those hydrants. We're certainly asking for help with the hydrants. We're asking residents to, check on any of their elderly or disabled neighbors to make sure that they're not snowbound. Going forward, we're advising people to go out and check their any exhaust vents from their home or business building. If they have a power vent from their heating system, a dryer vent, it's critical that you get out there. I mean, with drifts going as, 10 to 12 feet high in some cases, there are power vents that may be, 5 or 6 feet off the ground that you don't think would ever get blocked by snow or ice, that very well could be blocked by snow right now. And as I mentioned earlier, we have had a number of carbon monoxide calls over the last couple of days into our fire department. And also, I know people are paying attention to their roofs, but they, I think that the ice dams are becoming a a bigger and bigger problem. We also responded to a lot of calls today for water leaking inside homes and businesses. So a lot of challenges, a lot of threats, and really, I think to keep everyone safe, we need folks to be proactive and to help us.
I got to ask you, and it's a question that we're going to ask the governor when he joins us at the top of the hour. How we know the commuter rail is a key component that goes through the city of Brock. You have a lot of folks who use the rail system in conjunction with the transit system, the Brockton area transit system that you have in the city. How has it affected the residents in Brockton, and have you heard any backlash in regards to the problems with the MBTA commuter rail?
Sure. Yeah, we did have some when the service went bad the other day. We did have some residents stranded at T stations in town. As you mentioned, Kevin, the BAT bus, so we do have the Brockton Area Regional Transit that has tried to pick up some of the slack from south of Braintree in terms of train stops and being able to fill gaps in the coverage. I think where we feel it maybe most directly right now is, you know, there's T-bus connections with the Montello train station that gives direct bus service into Quincy Center. The BAT also runs bus service directly to Ashmont Station, and those connections have been disrupted now. We've got a lot of residents that rely upon those. So, yeah, we are hearing from residents that are finding it much more difficult with the problems of the T, and the governor is in a much better position to comment on that than I, but certainly the announcement by Dr. Scott earlier this evening that this T service could take 30 days or longer to get back to normal is certainly disheartening.
Okay. Let's kind of move on to some city business while we have you on. I know that the storm has been kind of a prominent issue. We had a chance to address that with you.
Do you think?
Well, I find it's going to be, I know other than the storm, you have so many other things that you're dealing with. I know that during your State of the City address, not too long ago, one of the things that you had mentioned was the ongoing lawsuit regarding the proposed power plant. And one of the things that you said is that you're going to put the half $500,000 towards it, but that's it. I know that we had reported we've been the only outlet to report it to this point in regards to the Brockton City Council missing a deadline to submit a decision regarding the lawsuit settlement that has been proposed and put forth and that has been discussed in executive session. What do you know about this at this time, and where do they stand with the deal that you know of?
Well, I guess my reaction is that I'm surprised and I'm disappointed that the council has apparently, because I'm not at any of the executive sessions, I'm not privy to those conversations, nor do they share them with me. So I don't think I know a whole lot more than what you know, but. I am aware of a correspondence that came back from. I'm aware of a correspondence that was sent, apparently giving a drop dead date on a response to a tentative agreement, that tentative settlement that we negotiated months ago. And I think that I've tried to be very respectful of the council's role and the council's obligation to do their own due diligence and to consider the settlement carefully. They've had that settlement in front of them since around the 1st of December. So here we are a couple of months later, 2.5 months later, and they have apparently chosen not to accept the settlement. So it is disappointing to me because I do believe that the tentative settlement that was sent to the council was not just in the best interest of the residents of the city, but that it was, in fact, a very good, very favorable settlement. And I think that, you mentioned the executive sessions. I believe the council met with their own attorneys. The city council has separate legal counsel from both the city legal counsel and the outside city legal counsel, but their lawyer is obviously working closely with the city's outside attorneys, and So I have to believe, you know, the council knows what I know at this point, and that is that construction of this plant does not pose a health risk to the residents of the city. I think they realize what the potential monetary benefits to the city would be in a settlement in the tens of millions of dollars to the city of Brockton. I think they realize what the ongoing cost to defend this suit would be, and that's in the millions of dollars. You mentioned the $500,000 that I was forced to appropriate right at the end of the year, but to continue this for this fight, you know, for any length of time into this year is probably another $1 million on top of over $1.5 million that's already been spent on legal expenses. And, you know, I'm sure that the council has received the same advice from their lawyer that we've received from all of the attorneys universally, and that is that that we should settle, and that this is a very good agreement, and that it would solve this problem, allow the city to put this behind us and begin collecting money instead of continuing to spend millions of dollars. I think something the attorneys have been very clear on is that their advice to us is that playing this card out to the very end, that this is illegal, that, you know, if we continue to fight this all the way out to a conclusion in court, that we will not prevail. We have little or no chance of succeeding in defending this suit, and that to play that all the way out does not make any sense. We could put the city at risk for tens of millions of dollars in damages, put the city into financial receivership or bankruptcy, and at the end of that process, the plant still gets cited anyhow, and I'm sure with a far less favorable agreement with the city at that point as we would have long since forfeited all of our negotiating positions. So I guess at the end of the day, Kevin, I think that if we spend, you know, about $1.5 million on legal advice, that we should listen to it and we should follow it.
Again, we're speaking with Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter, and we've touched upon a couple of different subjects, not only from storm updates to this situation. Just a couple of weeks ago, it came to light that Brockton is now in the running possibly for a resort casino, that the planning is beginning. For folks who don't know about this, kind of give us the nuts and bolts as to where things stand in regards to a possible casino in the city of Brockton.
Well, I think it's a very real possibility. It's exciting. It's very early in the process, but it's a process that will move very quickly because of the timelines established by the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. The owners of the fairgrounds property, the Carney family, Mr. Carney, has partnered with a development firm out of Chicago called Rush Street Gaming. They are a major national and international real estate developer. They have built half a dozen casinos in the U.S. Over the last several years. They just recently were awarded the bid to build a new casino in Schenectady, New York. So they bring a great deal of assets and a great deal of expertise to bringing a casino to the city of Brockton to be located on the site of the Brockton Fairgrounds. You know, if this thing comes together, we're looking at a $650 million investment in a casino hotel complex. It would be a resort destination type of casino and resort, maybe not quite of the magnitude of what you would see in Boston and Everett with the Wynn, but along the same lines, not a parlor or a slots parlor, but a destination casino that would have a full-scale hotel, half a dozen restaurants, some type of event center, all to complement the gaming. This could be the biggest development ever to come into the city. I think it could really be a real shot in the arm for the city as we continue to get the city turned around and move forward. The potential revenue to the city from the casino would be millions of dollars per year. That translates into, you know, cops and firefighters and teachers that we would be able to hire with that money here in the city. So it's exciting. The prospects, the potential of it are exciting. But as I say, there's a lot of work to be done. I think you'll see me on the casino, our administration working very closely with the city council on this. One of the very first steps in the process would be the approval of a host community agreement by the city council, and that agreement is being discussed by the attorneys literally as we speak. And once we get past that, we would the developers would continue to develop the specifics of their proposal. Their planners would be working with our city planner, our outside experts that we would bring in. We have already retained outside legal counsel with a great deal of expertise in this area. Mintz Levin, who represented Wynn Resorts and their negotiating their host community agreement with the city of Everett. They are our legal counsel, and as the process proceeds, you know, we'll also be bringing on board other consultants to help us determine what the impact on traffic would be, what the impact on public safety would be. So, you know, I think, you know, the council and I will share the concern of making sure that potential impacts on the city and our residents will be addressed. But I believe that the city can work with Rush Street Gaming in coming up with a plan that will address those concerns and allow the development to go forward. And ultimately, the final decision on this will be made by the residents of the city, because I think, as most people are aware, that one of the requirements before you even can get in front of the Gaming Commission for a final approval is a referendum ballot that the voters in the city would have to approve the casino proposal. And, I'm being told that vote would probably take place in the month of May. So this will be a pretty fast process in terms of negotiating a host community agreement, then working on the details of exactly what the proposed development would be, and then bringing that proposal in front of the voters for their approval. But I think that this can happen. I think Brockton would have a great chance against the other communities that are competing for this final casino license in southeastern Massachusetts if we are able to get to that point. But right now, I would say our focus is on negotiating a host community agreement that would be favorable to the city, that would guarantee the types of benefits that a host community would expect to see. And we will work very closely with the city council on that. And the councilors have already been briefed to the same extent that I have, and that this host community agreement will be brought to the council for approval. So the process will move. We'll all work on it together. And, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think it's early. You know, we have to have a lot of questions answered and see the details of exactly what's being proposed. But I think the prospects of a $650 million casino, hotel, restaurant complex situated on the Brockton Fairgrounds would be very exciting for the future of the city.
Well, it's been a very informative segment that we've had. Now, before we wrap up and go, not that you don't already put in 16 hours a day, 5, 6, 7 days a week.
Well, that was before it started snowing.
That was before it started snowing. But you also have to start thinking about seeking another term in office. I don't think we'll have you on air by the time you announce it, but you are going to be doing a re-election kickoff soon, aren't you?
We have the date circled on the calendar of March 6th, so that is the game plan right now. I've got to tell you, Kevin, honestly, with the events of the past 3 weeks, I mean, I'm certainly, from time to time, I may think a little bit about the where we're at on the power plant litigation. We're certainly paying attention to the casino proposal. Right this minute, the city of Brockton is in a state of emergency, and really all my focus, all my efforts over the past 3 weeks really have been around public safety and working closely with our emergency management director, Steve Hook, and fire and police chiefs, and my DPW commissioner, Larry Rowley. And I think we've got a great team, and we've had our emergency operations center up and running several times through these snowstorms. And I think right now the residents expect me to be paying attention, have all of my focus on public safety as we try to weather these storms. And so that's really where my attention is right now. And once we see some light at the end of the tunnel, and we know that the residents of the city are safe, then I think we'll have time to get back to some of these other issues.
Well, we thank you for joining us on this busy evening, and we will look forward to talking to you down the road, maybe in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Absolutely. Kevin, Joe, always a pleasure to be here with you on Monday Night Talk.
There he is, Mr. Bill Carpenter, Mayor of Brockton. We'll step aside when we come back. We're going to speak with Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. Don't go anywhere.